Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Heavenly Father, I would ask God that as we take a look at the baptism of Jesus Christ, and as we do this morning some very practical biblical teaching on what baptism is, what it is not, I pray, Lord, that even in the presentation of this, you would help us, Lord, to examine, Lord, our own personal life and our own life experiences to see if we have been number one, scripturally saved, and then number two, scripturally baptized. May we have a better and deeper understanding of this subject. And Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you for not just coming down to die on a cross, but for coming down and living a life so that you could teach us, Lord, how to live. And I pray that you would bless, Lord, this service this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to read the other accounts of the baptism of Christ. And I have them printed out in front of me, so I'll just read them to you. And Mark, and by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us some information about the baptism of Jesus Christ. In Mark 1:9, it reads, And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came up from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Luke writes this in chapter 3, verse 21, Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom in thee I am well pleased. And then John wrote this down in John 1:32, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. And of the baptism of Jesus Christ. I'm not starting at the very beginning. I'm really starting at the 30th year of Jesus' life here. We've spent a lot of time in our young adult class in the last two or three years going over some of the early life of Christ for the benefit of our young adults that have children. Some of them have teenagers. We've taught on the six character traits of the Christ child. We've also taught on the six character traits of the teenage Christ. We also studied, and by the way, this is a great study if you'd like to do it, the parents of Jesus Christ. Fascinating, the life of Joseph and Mary. Think about this. Can you imagine what it would be like to be as God was and getting ready to place your son in the care of some couple on earth? Can you imagine? And God had his choice of anybody. And he selected Mary to be the mother of Jesus. He selected Joseph to be that earthly father figure of Jesus. I think that means those two people would bear our attention and would be deserving of a study. Because whatever Mary was, ladies, whatever Mary was, God saw attributes that wanted him to place his son under her care. And so, and by the way, Mary was not perfect. Mary was not sinless. Mary was not divine. I think Mary in heaven grieves over the false doctrine that's taught about her today. She was just a sinner, and a sinner that was eventually saved by grace. But she was chosen to bear Jesus Christ. Joseph, not a perfect man, but a man of great integrity, a very unusual man, a blessed man, an obedient man, a man of quiet meditations, of great faith, and worth our study. But I'm going to kind of skip past all of that, and I want to get into the beginnings of the ministry of Jesus Christ to get us started here at the beginning of the year. And of course, The coming out event for Jesus Christ was his baptism. His baptism. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that, and I want you to listen to me. Young people, listen to me. There's a lot of false doctrine that's being taught concerning this doctrine of baptism. What is it? What is it for? What does it mean? Preacher, I sit here sometimes and I watch that at the end of the service that somebody presents themselves to be baptized. Why do they do that? Why do they choose to do it when they choose to do it? What must come before it for it to be a biblical, a scriptural baptism? There's people that think they've been baptized and all they've done is gotten wet. They haven't been scripturally baptized. And so what we want is we want the Word of God to define those things for us and teach us a little bit about baptism. Now, let me say three main things this morning. Listen very carefully. Number one, Christ was baptized as an example for us. Christ was baptized as an example for us. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. You know, if you have not been scripturally baptized, then you fall short in that area of Christ's likeness in your life. Now, the one thing that's different about Christ's baptism and our baptism, and this is true in some of the areas that I'm going to have to teach on, you know, when you're looking at the Son of God as your ultimate example, not all things are true about Him that's true about us. For instance, Jesus never needed to be saved. You know why? Jesus never sinned. So if he didn't need to be saved, preacher, why did he go ahead and get baptized? He got baptized as an example for us. He was showing us that baptism was important. See, Christ did not get baptized for him. He got baptized as an example for us. We see this in Matthew chapter 3, and if you have your Bible left open there, we'll probably refer for the most part out of Matthew. It says, then cometh, in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? See, John recognized that this was not a man that needed to be that baptized, and this was not a man that he was worthy to baptize. Now, he had no trouble preaching to the publicans, and when they got right and repented, baptizing them. He didn't have any trouble preaching to the religious leaders, and if they got right, baptizing them. He had no trouble preaching against the politicians of his day, and it ended up costing his head, by the way. He didn't have any trouble preaching against the Roman soldiers and their cruelty, or the tax collectors and their thievery. And he was willing to baptize any of them. You know why? Because all of those, like all of us, are sinners. But when it came to Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus, wait a minute. I'm not worthy to baptize you. I mean, I ought to be baptized of you, not baptize you. And what does Jesus say? He says this, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So what he was saying there is, listen, I know what you're saying, but let's do this. You know why? Because it's necessary as an example to those who will be reading my life to know that this is part of the fulfilling of all righteousness. And so Jesus was baptized as an example for us. Now, when do we get baptized, preacher? Well, I'm going to answer that in just a minute. Can I take a second, though, and look at John the Baptist? I'm going to tell you, I had this thought when I was studying this subject this week. And I've baptized in my life hundreds of people. But I'm going to tell you, what a privilege, what an honor. Can you imagine what it would have been like to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ? John the Baptist, by the way, who did Jesus go to when he wanted to set an example to us about baptism? He went to a man that the Bible says was called of God. There was a man called of John, of God, whose name was John. He went to a preacher of repentance and righteousness. He went to a man that was a prophesied prophet. He was the one that the book of Malachi would tell us would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a true man of God, and that's who Jesus wanted to baptize him. What an honor that must have been. Of all of the people that John the Baptist baptized, what an amazing, amazing privilege to be able to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, Christ was baptized as an example for us. Number two, Christ taught us, his baptism taught us the proper method of baptism. Now look right up here because I want to show you from the scriptures that there is a biblical way to be baptized And there are things that are happening in churches that they're calling baptisms that are unscriptural. And if you have not been scripturally baptized, you ought to be scripturally baptized. If you're going to obey the Lord, then obey Him scripturally and do it the right way. Now, there's several things here. I want to answer the question I brought up just a second ago. When, preacher, when should someone be baptized? Well, the Bible pattern is very well established, very well chronicled in the Scriptures. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, we'll show you other places, but let me get through this one and to the next one. But let me say this again and again and again. The Bible teaches this biblical order. You are saved first, and then you are baptized, and then you join yourself to a local assembly. Salvation, baptism, church membership. Salvation, baptism, church membership. Now, you may have been baptized in one way or another before you were saved, but you were not scripturally baptized, because baptism never precedes salvation. It always follows salvation. So some people say, well, preacher, I got saved here, but you know, when I was little, I was baptized, so that's already taken care of. No, the Bible order is salvation, then baptism, and then church membership. By the way, check it out. I mean, people right in here, I'm going to tell you, there's a reason that you need to check this out. Oh, preacher, you know what? I thought I got saved at one time, or I got baptized when I was younger, and later on I got saved, and I've never presented myself for baptism afterwards. I'm going to show you that that probably is a roadblock right now in your life to divine blessing. You do not come to God and say, I'm going to disrespect your biblical order of the way things are and do it my way. This is the first step of obedience to a born again Christian. And so if you have not been baptized since you've been saved, it doesn't matter how many times you were baptized before you were saved, you need to be scripturally baptized. When should I be baptized? When were people in the Bible baptized? They were baptized after salvation. Watch this. They were baptized immediately after salvation. Now, folks, listen to me. This is as much a scriptural principle as the fact that they were baptized after salvation. Every once in a while, we get this denominational thinking creeping into our independent fundamental Baptist churches. People decide they're going to get better ideas than the Bible. There's never a better idea than the Bible. You're going to have no place in the Bible that you can go to and show me where somebody who gets saved, the church should require them to attend 6 months of classes and do this and do that and then earn their way to the privilege of being baptized. That is not in the Scriptures. Upon their public profession or their faith in Jesus Christ, they are qualified to be baptized, and they should be baptized immediately. I can take you to the book of Acts and show you again and again and again where people were baptized immediately after salvation or as soon as they possibly could. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The same day. The same day. Now listen, sometimes we have to warm up the baptistry, and sometimes, especially with children, we don't baptize children the day that they get saved because they are under the authority of their parents. We always go to the parents. We always secure permission before we baptize anybody that's underage. But I'm going to tell you this, as soon as we can possibly do it, after they get saved, they ought to get baptized. And so if you've gotten into that thinking, get out of that thinking. If you think, I've got a better idea, you don't have a better idea. The Bible says get saved and as soon as possible get baptized, all right? Now, why? Well, why do we get baptized? We said, when do we get baptized? For salvation and immediately. Why? Because it is the first step of obedience. The first step of obedience. Now, look right up here. This is very important. Somebody that gets saved and then adamantly refuses to be baptized, I worry about the sincerity of their conversion. I worry about it. Romans 10:11 says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." You say, why should we get baptized? We get baptized because it's a step of obedience. We get baptized as a public declaration of our newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Mark 8:38 says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And so once you get saved, this is what I found out, and you'll see it again in the scripture. Man alive, Philip didn't have to twist the arm of the Ethiopian eunuch to get him to. Matter of fact, the Ethiopian eunuch's the one that brought up baptism. Somebody that's truly saved, newly saved, once they hear about God's desire and God's command to be baptized, they want to do it. They want to do it just as quick as possible. I mean, usually they're right now. Folks, listen to me. Look up here and understand, I've dealt with a lot of people in a lot of different situations. I've dealt with people that are absolutely frightened of water. I've dealt with people that for them to get baptized was one of the bravest things they ever done in their life. I work with people that had, with fear and trembling, went to the baptism tank. I've worked with people that have had to build up a little bit of courage before they made the decision. I get all of that. But you know what? In your heart, as a born-again Christian, there ought to be a driving desire to instantly and immediately begin to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the very first thing that Jesus says is, be baptized. Don't be ashamed of me. It's a public declaration, of our newfound faith in Christ. Go to Romans chapter 6, if you will. I want to show you this. Romans chapter number 6. Preacher, why should I be baptized? You should be baptized because it's the first step of obedience, and you should be baptized as a public declaration of your newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to teach you in a minute. We'll talk about the how of and what is the scriptural way to be baptized. What does the Bible teach? But I want to show you this because I really feel a need, once again, to heighten in our minds the importance of this first step of obedience and let you to see from the scriptures what it means to be baptized. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And when somebody gets saved, they are making a public declaration of their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. And when they follow the Lord in baptism, they are saying, even as Christ was buried and rose again, I want to bury that old man. I want to bury that old life. I want to bury who I used to be, and I want to be raised to walk in newness of life. You young people, you ride the bus, or maybe in youth you sing, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And baptism is a public declaration, not that just that you've been saved, but that you are making a commitment to live a different type of life. You know, word gets around the community when you get saved and baptized. Did you hear about old so-and-so? Y'all, you say, preacher, people don't talk. Where do you live? Nobody knows what happens in this church. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Matter of fact, they know some things that have happened in this church that has never happened in this church. That's how much they know about what goes on in this church. But I'm here to tell you, you know what? When you come before a church and you say, I've received Christ and I want to be baptized, and you are baptized, that is signifying and that is saying something very, very important. You before witnesses are saying, you know what? Buried in the likeness of his death. What do I say? Raised to walk in newness of life. You know what? You begin to follow Christ. You begin to live a different kind of life. Listen, you know what? The old man used to go to the bar. The new man's not supposed to go to the bar. The old man talked a certain way. The new man's not supposed to talk that way. The old man looked at some things that he shouldn't have looked at. New man's not supposed to look at those things anymore. The old man had no desire to come to church. New man ought to have some desires to come to the house of God. The old man didn't care if the rest of the world was going to hell, because he was too. But you know, the new man gets a burden for lost souls. Wants to be busy about how can I get the gospel of Jesus Christ to people around me. So why do we get baptized? We get baptized as a public declaration of our newfound faith in Christ. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I love this, by the way. I love this poem. I keep it close at hand to read it from time to time. It was actually a poem that became a song, and it was written in the 16th century by a man by the name of Joseph Grigg. And it's called Jesus and Shall It Ever Be. Jesus and Shall It Ever Be. Here's the verses. Jesus and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, sooner far let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of noon. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. And so here we see all the way back, 16th century, one thing that is found in every single born-again Christian is the understanding that once I'm saved, I'm not supposed to be ashamed of my Savior. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And so don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Now, how are we to be baptized? Well, I believe that the scripture again defines for us, and the example of Christ defines for us, the method of baptism. The method of baptism. How am I to be baptized? You're to be baptized by immersion. Now, for those of you who don't know what that word means, it means to be immersed. It means to be put underneath the water, lowered into the water, and then brought back out. You say, is it important? Of course it's important. Everything that God commands us to do ought to be done the way that he told us it ought to be done. How do you know it's by immersion? First of all, the definition of the word used teaches us that baptism is by immersion. You do any, even just casual study of the word that is translated baptism in the New Testament, and you'll find that the first word that they give as a definition of the word baptism is the word immersion, which means to be put and placed underneath the water. So the definition of the word teaches us that baptism is by immersion. The details of the scripture teaches us that baptism is by immersion. Remember what we read in Romans chapter 6? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from dead by the glory of the Father. You see, folks, baptism is supposed to be a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me go a step farther. Baptism preaches the gospel. It preaches the gospel. It testifies of your faith in the gospel. And the gospel is the death as we're lowering them, the burial as they go underneath the water. By the way, kids, the good part, you don't have to stay 3 days and three nights as Jesus was buried. That's the good news. If that was the case, we'd have to have some paramedics handy, and it probably still wouldn't end up very well. But the death, the burial, and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, preacher, but I've been to churches before, or I've got family that goes to churches, or maybe even you at one point in your time was baptized, but you were baptized by sprinkling. Well, how does sprinkling picture the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? When somebody dies and we go to the funeral home and we leave the funeral home to go to the cemetery, do we set the casket on top of the ground, sprinkle a little bit of dirt on top of it, and walk away and say they're buried? Of course we don't. You see, folks, now, by the way, I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm just trying to teach you the biblical method of baptism. Say, where did this sprinkling came from? Folks, men and religions have taken all of the things that God's taught and perverted them somewhere along the line. And there's a lot of people that chose a sprinkling and begin to sprinkle and say that was good enough, but it's unbiblical. It's unbiblical because it's not a true picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means if you were saved and you truly received Christ as Savior and afterwards you were sprinkled, you haven't been scripturally baptized. You have not been scripturally baptized, you see. The details of the scripture teaches us that baptism is by immersion. Matthew 3:16, if you're still there. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Mark 1:10, and straightway coming up out of the water. Well, if you come out of the water, that means you were in the water. Well, preacher, maybe they walked into the water and then they sprinkled them. Now watch this, John 3:23, and John also was baptizing in Anon near Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. You know why John chose the locations he did to baptize? Because there had to be enough water to immerse somebody. Now if it was the other way, John could have baptized as long as there was a little creek and a little water. He had to have a lot of water. And so we see that the Bible says that baptism is by immersion. Go over to Acts chapter 8 if you will. Let's take our Bibles and use them a little bit this morning. I'm just trying to get you a biblical view of baptism. So much false teaching, so many of men's traditions or religious traditions creep in and pervert what the Bible teaches. And so we want to stand firmly on the Word of God and on the teachings of the Scriptures. Acts chapter number 6, if you'll look at that, and verse number 3. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. What did I tell you? All right, thank you very much. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 34. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 34. We're kind of getting into the story. There was a man that was an Ethiopian eunuch. There's an evangelist by the name of Philip. God brings the evangelist to the man and preaches Jesus Christ to him. And in verse number 34, the Bible says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Notice that, salvation. He said, what does hinder me to be baptized? Oh, you can be baptized, you can be saved later. That's not what he said. He said, you get saved first. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he, by the way, you could put the word immerse there. That's what baptism means. And he immersed him there. He baptized him there. So how should I be baptized? You should be baptized by immersion. That's the scriptural method of baptism. Now let me just finish up by saying this. Where should I be baptized? Where should I be baptized? Baptism is one of two ordinances of the local assembly. The church has been given two ordinances, two things that they are to accomplish. They are supposed to baptize new believers. First of all, they're supposed to go out and share the gospel. But as Christians, there's two Christian ordinances: baptizing of the believers and the giving out of the Lord's Supper. And you notice even Christ in his example went to a God-called preacher and said, baptize me. In the Bible, you see baptism is being conducted by the Church of Jesus Christ, by the local assembly. So you should be baptized by a God-called preacher in the presence of a local assembly. That's God's divine order: salvation, baptism, church membership. By the way, those of you that have been saved, have you kind of, I know you're trying to listen and I'm giving you a lot quick, but are you reliving when you got baptized? Wasn't that a blessed day? Did you think about it? I remember when I was just, as a little boy, introduced to a church baptizing people. I mean, I'm talking about when I was too young to really even know what was going on. But we didn't start going to church until I was 5, and so it probably was sometime along those ways that my mom and dad and us went to one of the church's first baptisms. Now, you know, this was back in the horse and buggy days, and Not too many churches had indoor baptismal. You know, they didn't have indoor baptistries. Aren't you glad when it's 7.5 degrees out on a Sunday morning you have an indoor baptistry? And but I can remember. I remember the excitement in the church when it was baptismal Sunday. You remember it? Are you thinking back? Man, there was just something. I mean, the preacher would talk about it for weeks. Such a date, folks. Everybody's been saved of late. We're going to go down after the Sunday morning service, and we're going to go down to such and such creek or such and such pond, and we're going to baptize. Remember, as a little boy just showing up. I mean, this is amazing. Instead of getting in the car and going home, everybody's following cars, and they're going down, and they head off to some place, and they open a gate, and we walk out into a fenced-off area, and we go down to a creek, and people get baptized. Well, I'd never seen this before. I thought it was fantastic. And I mean this. I'm not trying to be spooky, but there was a wonderful sense of spiritual activity. You know, even for a boy that thought everything was playtime, I just knew that this was a God time. We weren't in the church house, but we were still assembled as the church. And they would have the people there ready to be baptized. The preacher would go out into the creek. And in the church that we attended, I think Kloss sang last Wednesday night, "Trust and Obey." And as they were walking out to meet the preacher, the church would take up the song, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey." Trust and obey. You know why they were singing that song? Trust, salvation, first step of obedience. Baptism by immersion. Trust, salvation, obedience, baptism. Trust and obey. Have you trusted Christ? Then you're saved. Have you obeyed Christ by being scripturally baptized? And boy, he'd stop and he'd say the person's name and give their salvation testimony and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then as they came up out of the water, as they would walk back up and another one would head out, would sing another verse of trust and obey. Now, you have your own separate memories. And if you didn't sing the same song or do it the same way, whether you were baptized in a church or in a creek or in a pond, you know, Derek and Rebecca, you know what where they've been baptized in their converts? At the motel that she works at in Montana. If you lived in Montana in the wintertime, you'd want to be baptized somewhere inside. We're going to, by the way, that's what they do. They asked this is where Rebecca works. They got permission from the owner. And every once in a while, they schedule a baptismal. And the church assembles right there in the motel after a service and goes into the pool and baptizes the converts. I want to do something this summer. I don't know if we still have access to the... you'd have to take me there, Dad. I don't even know where we used to go to baptize people. But this summer, I'd like to have an outdoor baptismal. Wouldn't that be neat? Let's just do it. Let's do it on a warm day. Amen. And what was the name of the pit we used to go to? You remember? It was Graveyard or Dead Man's Pit? Amen. Which is biblical, brother. That's scripture. I mean, the early days of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we'd always take them to Dead Man's Pit. We'd bury the old man and raise the new man, and so it was a good place to go. I don't even know if we could still get that. Wouldn't that be neat to go back there? Let's do it. And we ought to just do that. Just, you know, gather a group of people that are ready to get baptized. Say, hey, if you want to, let's do something different. Let's go out there and do it. And there's nothing wrong with getting baptized inside, outside. But something sweet about it. I kind of just like the old past. Seems like every time everybody else wants to get something more modern, I want to find a way to go back to our roots, you know. I keep threatening... I'll let you know some of the crazy ideas your pastor has. I keep threatening to, one of these days, God gives us time and we have the energy and the manpower that would want to do it. But back behind the gymnasium, we have a big section of woods back there. I want to turn that into a park one of these days. Now, what I mean by that is I'd like to go through, cut out all the scrub trees and get it down to where we have just nice shade trees. But I'd love to build out there. How many of you ever been to Shackamack, the group park over there in Shackamack? You ever been there before? You ought to drive in there one of these days. They've got an outdoor amphitheater there and some benches. Yeah, mosquitoes. Some of you are already nervous. Yeah, sweat. Yeah, bugs. Yeah, it's out in God's creation. It's just something. You know, folks, that's our heritage. You know, the Baptist heritage is brush arbors and tent meetings and open air meetings. That's our heritage is storefronts. Our heritage is meeting in homes and garages and storefronts and whatever. It's our heritage is outdoor meetings. And I keep saying, you know, people in this town think we're nuts anyway. Wait till they hear Pastor Jerry took everybody to the woods. I mean, you know, you think there's rumors flying around now, man. Every once in a while on a beautiful Sunday evening, people start showing up to church. Be a couple signs on the back door say, meet us out in the woods there. And you've never had an outdoor sing. There are some things you ought to just be a part of in your life. You ever just been an outdoor preaching service, open pavilion type preaching service? Man, I'm telling you what, we've gotten so spoiled rotten. We got so soft as Americans. We have. I mean it. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, just something about it. Just something about getting out in God's creation, singing praises and preaching out in the open air. I mean, read your history, folks. The Great Awakening didn't happen in churches. It happened out in the pastures. It happened in the fields. It happened on the edge of town. It happened wherever the preacher showed up, it happened. And so I was thinking about that. But baptism by immersion. We ought to just plan some things. Let's get back to some things. Now, let me just give you this last few thoughts, and we'll be done. I promise you we're done. You say, preacher, I see how to be baptized and why and when and where. I want to just close out. Let me take you back there because I want you to see it. Back in Matthew chapter number 3. If you're not there, get back there real quick. Matthew chapter number 3. And then let me finish up by giving you just a little glimpse. On Wednesday nights, we start teaching about the invisible and the visible, the invisible creation. God kind of pulls back a little bit of the curtain on the invisible creation. And I want you to see Christ's example and how it shows us that there is a supernatural reaction to baptism. There's three things, three members of the Godhead here. You ever heard somebody say they don't believe in the Trinity? Yeah. He's Jesus only, one God. I don't believe in the Trinity. I always like them to explain what happened right here. Here's the Son of God being baptized. The Spirit of God descending like as a dove. Visible form, the Bible says, visibly, John saw it. Then the voice coming from heaven, from the Father. There's God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's a Trinity right there. There's a Trinity, folks. We serve a triune God. What does this teach us? When somebody is scripturally baptized, God the Son, His example has been followed. God the Spirit is activated in that Christian's life. Let me look right up here and let me explain what that means. I believe that you receive the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the minute that you pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I know Him. Listen to me. I know Him. He takes residence up in a new Christian, and then He sits there and says, let's find out whether He'll be obedient or not. And until you take that first step of obedience, I don't care what other things you try to do, until you take that first step of obedience, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is not satisfied, is not activated until He sees you obey scripturally this matter of baptism. And when He does see that, He says, you know what, here's somebody that's saved I can work with. Because they didn't just want to get saved to keep from going to hell. They wanted to get saved and then find out, now as a Christian, what do I need to do next? And by the way, after baptism, there's a next. And after that next, there's a next. And after that next, there's a next. It's called growing in grace. And the Bible has a lot to teach us as new Christians and as old Christians. Amen? Is that right, church? And so we want to continue to learn. And then we see God the Father is pleased. Did you hear what He said? He said, says in Matthew chapter number 3, and lo, in verse 17, a low voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. You say, well, preacher, that was Jesus. When you are saved, you become a son of God. But as many as received Him, John 1:12, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And so, you know what? He either now begins to view you as an obedient son or as a disobedient son. And when a newborn child of God, as soon as they have been taught, as soon as they have the understanding of the importance of baptism, says, well, I know that that's what the Scripture teaches, and that's what God wants me to do. And so I want to be obedient to God. Preacher, when can I be baptized? And when we baptize you, folks, let me just say this. You may not see, and you won't, the visual bodily form of the Spirit of God coming upon that person. But I promise you, inside that newborn Christian, the Spirit of God is excited and activated because he is indwelling a Christian who's willing to be obedient. We may not hear a voice from heaven, but I'll tell you this. I can promise you God in heaven is looking down and said, that's one of my sons, that's one of my daughters in whom I'm well pleased. Look at that. Look at that. Remember when you got baptized? Remember how wonderful it was? Remember there was a feeling when you got baptized? Say, preacher, it's not all about feelings. No, it's not all about feelings, but there's some emotions that come with just being obedient to God. Remember the presence of God? Remember how you just felt different, and you thought, you know what, I've just embarked on something new. Maybe you didn't put it into these words, but something inside of you, you knew that you were headed in a brand new direction and that nothing really would ever be the same in your life again. Let me ask you a couple questions. Number one, have you ever been saved, scripturally saved? Okay, have you ever been scripturally saved? Now, if you have to be saved before you can be baptized, that pretty much does away with this whole infant baptism thing then, doesn't it? There's no place in the Bible that teaches us that children that are not at the age of accountability, are not at the age where they can make a decision to receive Christ as their Savior, that they should be baptized in any manner. And if you were, quote-unquote, baptized as an infant, you were probably sprinkled, which means you weren't scripturally baptized anyway. So set that off to the side. I'm not against you. I don't want you to be upset with your parents. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it's not a scriptural baptism. And so if you have made a conscious decision to receive Christ as your Savior, and you can say, yep, that's in my, this is when I did it. Okay, from that point forward, was there ever a time where you were scripturally baptized? If not, the Holy Spirit indwells you and you are saved, but you're probably struggling in your Christian life. There's probably not a whole lot of success going on in your Christian life. You know why? Because God in heaven has a divine order. You get saved, you get baptized, you make a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. You follow that first step of obedience, and then you join the church, you add yourself to the church, and then from that point on, you begin to grow in grace and let the Lord teach you and bring you along. That is the Bible pattern that's given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's let the thoughts of the hour, the thoughts of the morning, let's dwell upon them for just a moment. Have you ever been saved? That's the number one question. That's more important than anything else. A lot of times when I ask somebody, have you ever been saved? Have you ever received Christ as their Savior? They'll say, well, I got baptized. And they start telling me about a baptism. Well, okay. But had you gotten saved before you got baptized? I'm talking about falling under Holy Spirit conviction of sin. I'm talking about having an understanding of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about knowing you were lost and on your way to hell. I'm talking about the Father drawing you to that decision and you by faith accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that has happened in your life, that's a wonderful thing, and it's great to be a child of God. But after that, were you scripturally baptized? That means baptized in a local assembly. That means baptized by immersion. It means baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That, have you been scripturally baptized? If you haven't, it would be a good thing for you to come to the church this morning, present yourself for baptism, and we will schedule just as soon as possible that opportunity for you. But I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to know that you're saved. That's more important than anything else. Are you saved? Yes, I am. Have you been scripturally baptized? Yes, preacher, I have. Have you joined yourself to a local assembly? Have you joined the local assembly? If you've done those three things, those are the first three steps. From then on, you can begin to grow in grace. Heavenly Father, use, Lord, what we've taught. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to seek to do your will each and every day of our lives. Is there someone here without Christ as their Savior? I pray they'd be saved. Someone who's never been scripturally baptized, I pray that today would be the day they present themselves in obedience to the Scriptures for baptism. Someone's been saved in baptism, baptized, never joined a local assembly, I pray that they would offer themselves for membership today. We pray these things in Jesus' name.